Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is marvelous, magnificent, magical Monday morning, April 9th, 2012. It is a great day to be alive. I'm so excited to hear all of these passionate, excited, entrepreneurial voices on the line today. And I'm especially excited about the message of the morning. I do want to welcome you to the call. I do want to congratulate you. I do want to thank you for being somebody who cares enough about your success and your future to get on a call like this in the morning on a Monday, a marvelous Monday, and I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Be with us every morning, Monday through Friday. If at all possible, be with us here at the live call at 9 a.m. Eastern. If you can't make it to the live call, dial into the replay. These calls absolutely contain amazing principles, laws that will allow you to achieve whatever amount of wealth you want to achieve in your life. And they're doing the same for me, so I'm committed to be here, and I'm glad you are as well. Today, my friends, Chapter 10 of the book, Think and Grow Rich, Power of the Mastermind, the Driving Force. This is the ninth step toward riches. Power is essential for success in the accumulation of money. Plans are inert and useless without sufficient power to translate them into action. This chapter will describe the method by which an individual may attain and apply power. Power may be defined as organized and intelligently directed knowledge. Power, as the term is used here, refers to organized effort sufficient to enable an individual to transmute desire into its monetary equivalent. Organized effort is produced through the coordination of effort of two or more people who work toward a definite end in a spirit of harmony. Power is required for the accumulation of money. Power is necessary for the retention of money after it has been accumulated. Let us ascertain how power may be acquired if power is organized knowledge. Let us examine the sources of knowledge. A. Infinite intelligence. This source of knowledge may be contacted through the procedure described in another chapter with the aid of creative imagination. B. Accumulated experience. The accumulated experience of man, or that portion of it which has been organized and recorded, may be found in any well-equipped public library. An important part of this accumulated experience is taught in public schools and colleges where it has been classified and organized. C. Experiment and research. In the field of science and in practically every other walk of life, men are gathering, classifying, and organizing new facts daily. This is the source to which one must turn when knowledge is not available through accumulated experience. Here, too, the creative imagination must often be used. Knowledge may be acquired from any of the foregoing sources. It may be converted into power by organizing it into plans and by expressing those plans in terms of action. Examination of the three major sources of knowledge will readily disclose the difficulty an individual would have if he depended upon his efforts alone in assembling knowledge and expressing it through definite plans in terms of action. If his plans are comprehensive and if they contemplate large proportions, he must generally induce others to cooperate with him before he can inject into them the necessary element of power. Gaining power through the mastermind. The mastermind may be defined as coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. No individual may have great power without availing himself of the mastermind. In a preceding chapter, instructions were given for the creation of plans for the purpose of translating desire into its monetary equivalent. If you carry out these instructions with persistence and intelligence and use discrimination in your selection of your mastermind group, your objective will have been halfway reached even before you begin to reach it. So you may better understand the intangible potentialities of power available to you through a properly chosen mastermind group, we will here explain the two characteristics of the mastermind principle, one of which is economic in nature and the other psychic. The economic feature is obvious. Economic advantages may be created by any person who surrounds himself with the advice, counsel, and personal cooperation of a group of men who are willing to lend him wholehearted aid in a spirit of perfect harmony. This form of cooperative alliance has been the basis of nearly every great fortune. Your understanding of this great truth may definitely determine your financial status. The psychic phase of the mastermind principle is much more abstract, much more difficult to comprehend, because it has reference to the spiritual forces with which the human race as a whole is not well acquainted. You may catch a significant suggestion from this statement: no two minds ever come together without thereby creating a third invisible, intangible force, which may be likened to a third mind. Keep in mind the fact that there are only two known elements in the known universe, energy and matter. It is a well-known fact that matter may be broken down into units of molecules, atoms, and electrons. There are units of matter which may be isolated, separated, and analyzed. Likewise, there are units of energy. The human mind is a form of energy, a part of it being spiritual in nature. When the minds of two people are coordinated in a spirit of harmony, the spiritual units of energy of each mind form an affinity, which constitutes the psychic phase of the mastermind. The mastermind principle, or rather the economic feature of it, was first called to my attention by Andrew Carnegie over 25 years ago. Discovery of this principle was responsible for the choice of my life's work. Mr. Carnegie's mastermind group consisted of a staff of approximately 50 men with whom he surrounded himself for the definite purpose of manufacturing and marketing steel. He attributed his entire fortune to the power he accumulated through his mastermind. Analyze the record of any man who has accumulated a great fortune, and many of those who have accumulated modest fortunes, and you will find that they have either consciously or unconsciously employed the mastermind principle. Great power can be accumulated through no other principle. Energy is nature's universal set of building blocks out of which she constructs every material thing in the universe, including man, and every form of animal and vegetable life. Through a process which only nature completely understands, she translates energy into matter. Nature's building blocks are available to man in the energy involved in thinking. Man's brain may be compared to an electric battery. It absorbs energy from the ether, which permeates every atom of matter and fills the universe. It is a well-known fact that a group of electric batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. It is also a well-known fact that an individual battery will provide energy in proportion to the number and capacity of the cells it contains. The brain functions in a similar fashion. This accounts for the fact that some brains are more efficient than others and leads to this significant statement: a group of brains coordinated or connected in a spirit of harmony will provide more thought energy than a single brain, just as a group of electric batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. I'm going to read that one more time because I believe that's a very powerful statement of fact. A group of brains coordinated or connected in a spirit of harmony will provide more thought energy than a single brain, just as a group of electric batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. Through this metaphor, it becomes immediately obvious that the mastermind principle holds the secret of the power wielded by men who surround themselves with men of other brains. There follows now another statement which will lead still nearer to an understanding of the psychic phase of the mastermind principle. When a group of individual brains are coordinated and function in harmony, the increased energy created through that alliance becomes available to every individual brain in the group. It is a well-known fact that Henry Ford began his business career under the handicap of poverty, illiteracy, and ignorance. It is an equally well-known fact that within the inconceivably short period of 10 years, Mr. Ford mastered these three handicaps and that within 25 years he made himself one of the richest men in America. Connect with this fact the additional knowledge that Mr. Ford's most rapid strides became noticeable from the time he became a personal friend of Thomas A. Edison, and you will begin to understand what the influence of one mind upon another can accomplish. Go a step further and consider the fact that Mr. Ford's most outstanding achievements began from the time that he formed the acquaintances of Harvey Firestone, John Burroughs, and Luther Burbank, each a man of great brain capacity, and you will have further evidence that power may be produced through friendly alliance of minds. There is little, if any, doubt that Henry Ford is one of the best informed men in business and the industrial world. The question of his wealth needs no discussion. Analyze Mr. Ford's intimate personal friends, some of whom have already been mentioned, and you will be prepared to understand the following statement. Men take on the nature and the habits and the power of thought of those with whom they associate in a spirit of sympathy and harmony. Henry Ford whipped poverty, illiteracy, and ignorance by allying himself with great minds, whose vibrations of thought he absorbed into his own mind. Through his association with Edison, Burbank, Burroughs, and Firestone, Mr. Ford added to his own brain power the sum and substance of the intelligence, experience, knowledge, and spiritual forces of these four men. Moreover, he appropriated and made use of the mastermind principle through methods of procedure described in this book. This principle is available to you. We have already mentioned Mahatma Gandhi. Perhaps the majority of those who have heard of Gandhi look upon him as merely an eccentric little man who goes around without formal wearing apparel and makes trouble for the British government. In reality, Gandhi is not eccentric, but he is the most powerful man now living, estimated by the number of his followers and their faith in their leader. Moreover, he is probably the most powerful man who has ever lived. His power is passive, but it is real. Let us study the method by which he attained his stupendous power. It may be explained in a few words. He came by power through inducing over 200 million people to coordinate with mind and body in a spirit of harmony for a definite purpose. In brief, Gandhi has accomplished a miracle, for it is a miracle when 200 million people can be induced, not forced, to cooperate in a spirit of harmony for a limitless time. If you doubt that this is a miracle, try to induce any two people to cooperate in a spirit of harmony for any length of time. Every man who manages a business knows what a difficult matter it is to get employees to work together in a spirit even remotely resembling harmony. The list of the chief sources from which power may be attained is, as you have seen, headed by infinite intelligence. When two or more people coordinate in a spirit of harmony and work toward a definite objective, they place themselves in position through that alliance to absorb power directly from the great universal storehouse of infinite intelligence. This is the greatest of all sources of power. It is the source to which the genius turns. It is the source to which every great leader turns, whether he may be conscious of the fact or not. The other two major sources from which the knowledge necessary for the accumulation of power may be obtained are no more reliable than the five senses of man. The senses are not always reliable. Infinite intelligence does not err. In subsequent chapters, the methods by which infinite intelligence may be most readily contacted will be adequately described. This is not a course on religion. No fundamental principle described in this book should be interpreted as being intended to interfere either directly or indirectly with any man's religious habits. This book has been confined exclusively to instructing the reader how to transmute the definite purpose of desire for money into its monetary equivalent. Read, think, and meditate as you read. Soon the entire subject will unfold, and you will see it in perspective. You are now seeing the detail of the individual chapters. Money is as shy and elusive as the old-time maiden. It must be wooed and won by methods not unlike those used by a determined lover in pursuit of the girl of his choice. And coincidental as it is, the power used in wooing of money is not greatly different from that used in wooing a maiden. That power, when successfully used in the pursuit of money, must be mixed with faith. It must be mixed with desire. It must be mixed with persistence. It must be applied through a plan, and that plan must be set into action. When money comes in quantities known as the big money, it flows to the one who accumulates it as easily as water flows down a hill. There exists a great unseen stream of power which may be compared to a river, except that one side flows in one direction, carrying all who get into that side of the stream onward and upward to wealth, and the other side flows in the opposite direction, carrying all who are unfortunate enough to get into it and not able to extricate themselves from it downward to misery and poverty. Every man who has accumulated a great fortune has recognized the existence of this stream of life. It consists of one's thinking process. The positive emotions of thought form the side of the stream which carries one to fortune. The negative emotions form the side which carries one down to poverty. This carries a thought of stupendous importance to the person who is following this book with the object of accumulating a fortune. If you are in the side of the stream of power which leads to poverty, this may serve as an oar by which you may propel yourself over onto the other side of the stream. It can serve you only through application and use. Merely reading and passing judgment on it either one way or another will in no way benefit you. Some people undergo the experience of alternating between the positive and negative sides of the stream, being sometimes on the positive side and sometimes on the negative side. The Wall Street crash of 29 swept millions of people from the positive to the negative side of the stream. These millions are struggling, some of them in desperation and fear, to get back to the positive side of the stream. This book was written especially for those millions. Poverty and riches often change places. The crash taught the world this truth, although the world will not long remember the lesson. Poverty may, and generally does, voluntarily take the place of riches. When riches take the place of poverty, the change is usually brought about through well-conceived and carefully executed plans. Poverty needs no plan. It needs no one to aid it because it is bold and ruthless. Riches are shy and timid. They have to be attracted. Anybody can wish for riches, and most people do, but only a few know that a definite plan plus a burning desire for wealth are the only dependable means of accumulating wealth. A lot here in this chapter today, folks. I'm going to jump right into the discussion, or shall we say mastermind portion of the call. Give me just one moment, and I will unmute the lines here. Star 6 to unmute your line. Would love to hear any insight on the content of the call today.
The Mastermind Principle. Good morning. This is Rick from California.
Good morning, Rick from California. Great to hear your voice on the line today.
Thank you. Fantastic. I hope you had a wonderful weekend, my friend.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that.
Great. I want to talk about this mastermind principle, which is very interesting. I want you to take a look at this and ponder and think about this, really. And the thought is that the idea first came into one person's mind. One person's mind about the Declaration of Independence. Then it took the rest of the other guys to cooperate. A spirit of cooperation to finally complete that Declaration of Independence, which is so important, not just to people living in the United States, but for those to model all over the world. And so that's an interesting thought. I'd like to hear what everybody else thinks about that. about a thought that actually starts in one person's mind, but then it takes a mastermind, a corporation, an idea, and get cultivated and manifest into the physical form. What do you think about that? Thank you. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Rick Martin. Great thought. You know, and you think about network marketing. I was thinking about this morning as we went through this chapter. Napoleon points out how Gandhi induced 200 million minds to coalesce in a spirit of unity and harmony and move forward towards a major definite purpose. Here's an idea. I mean, network marketing. What if we could get hundreds and thousands and tens and thousands of people to move forward in a spirit of unity and harmony on a simple idea to take a little bit of action on a daily basis? I mean, what would be the result of a successful mastermind of that nature? I mean, we all know the results. We've all run the numbers. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars residual income. If we could just induce everyone to buy into the concept and move forward in a mastermind. I mean, that would be one example of a mastermind that could produce riches beyond our wildest imagination. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul. Good morning. This is Neville.
Good morning, Neville.
Well, you hi, Rick, and hi, everybody on the call. This is interesting here. And it states so in the book that what you're actually doing here on the call this morning is that we're putting a lot of batteries together. When you put Doc, Fran, Rick, and everyone else together, all you guys there with your intelligence and in harmony together is what it's doing. Because the book, it tells you a group of brains coordinated or connected in a spirit of harmony. We provide more thought energy than a single brain. This is a group of electric batteries. We provide more energy than a single battery. And recently you mentioned you're working with Doc Fran, getting him into WordPress and get certain things done, and it took a long time to get it done. And then you went back again with the same energy, and when a group of individuals' brains are coordinated and function in harmony, increases energy, created through that alliance, that becomes available to every individual brain in the group. And that is the truth. We are on this call, ideas come to us. We express that when you talk to each other, we express them, and it works. So that is actually, this chapter is network marketing. It's masterminding. It's all about it. It's masterminding. And it's fascinating that we sit here this morning not realizing. And there's something I learned, not recently clarified it, that when all of us get together in a certain way, there's a vibration that takes place between all of us. And even though we can't see, just like the radio or anything else like this, we are actually communicating with each other without actually knowing. But we're in positive realm, and if we are vibrating on the same thing, just like someone singing or breaking a glass or whatever, then we are also transmuting ideas from one to the other, information in a positive way, and that will one day lead us to success as long as we take the positive action. So it is fascinating that I came across a principle several months ago, and here it is being stated here in this book also. So it is true in a sense that positive thoughts, positive ideas, positive harmonious relationships brings about positive knowledge. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Neville. I appreciate you making those points. And as you were talking, I just started to get excited as I realized the sheer amount of experience and power and wisdom that we have on this call and all of the different individuals that are on this call on a daily basis. And then I started to realize, wow, you know, what can we come up with as a group? What incredible solutions or ideas can we come up with as we form that, you know, that extra mind, putting all of our minds together? It's really quite amazing, and it staggers the imagination when you ponder that simple concept. I mean, we could come up with some amazing ideas together, and we have come up with amazing ideas together. So appreciate that, Neville. Thank you. Star 6, who is next?
Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Melvin.
This power that we're speaking of, when and this is truly when two people are in harmony and working together, this mastermind, two minds coming together create a third mind. And that's where this additional power comes from. You no longer have two minds, but you have three minds. And when three minds come together, you've actually created the power of seven. And I don't expect everybody to understand it right now, but the two minds coming together create a third mind in itself. And three minds coming together actually create a power of seven. And so there's so much power there, and there's so much to be gained there. If we understand this and we align ourselves with others, working together and thinking the same way and all. So with that, back to you.
Thank you, Melvin. Great to hear your voice this morning, my friend.
Yeah,
and
I'd like
always
to take it back on what Melvin just said. And excuse me for a moment, but Mother Teresa, she had a saying in the era of communication, networking, let's put it this way. And she said, "You can do things I cannot do. Likewise, I can do things that you cannot do. But together, we can do great things." I just wanted to interject that in there, and I appreciate you. Right back to you, Paul.
Great quote, Rick. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay. Thank you. You're welcome.
Well, good morning, guys. It's Doc Fran.
Good morning, Sir Doc Fran.
This is the essence. What a great discussion too, and every one of our partners that has spoken up has said things of great value and power. And one of the things that I want to focus people's attention on in this chapter is the reality that abundance or poverty are both just states of mind. And Neville mentioned vibration, and that is the essence of what all life is energy vibrations. And where your state of mind is the vibration or energy that you are emitting into the universe. And what you emit, the frequency that you emit, is what you will attract. Now, why do I say that? Well, if we look at abundance as a state of mind, and we're talking in this book, and wonderfully so, about abundance in money. But the principle is the same in all areas of your life. And if we take money as the starting point, there is an infinite source of money on this planet. There is more abundance available to every person. And what one person has absolutely no effect on what another person can have. Because the source of all things is our Creator, and our Creator is infinite. So if we accept the premise that there is an infinite source of money available on the planet, and if you are sitting in a position where your belief about your money is that it is in a state of lack, then we have to look at what is your belief about money, and what is your attitude about money, and what is your mindset about money. If you have an abundance mindset, you will attract abundant money. And it's immaterial what that amount of money is, because if you have an abundance mindset, you will always be in a state of mind that regardless of how much money you physically have at that point, it will always be viewed with gratitude as an abundant amount of money. When you come from that posture and mindset, then you will always have abundance in money. If you view your current amount of money as being in lack, then you're actually in a poverty mindset. And if you're literally emoting a vibration of poverty or lack, guess what you're going to get? And the same thing is true in all areas of your life. If you have an abundance mindset, and with regard to love in your life, there's an infinite supply of love in this world. And yet people are starving for love. They are lonely in the face of billions of beings on this planet. If you have a poverty mindset about intelligence, then you will be existing in a state of poor intelligence. So the real key is whatever area of your life that you feel you need to have more of, you need to examine what is my mindset with regard to that, and what do I need to do to create and change the beliefs that are keeping me in a poverty mindset with regards to that. And that's where the power of the mastermind, and it is pure networking. A person comes into any company, they have an idea. That idea is this company can be a path, a vehicle, a way for me to create abundance in whatever you're seeking to create abundance in through that effort. And then it simply becomes a process of successfully influencing other minds to join you in harmony of agreement of purpose. And the power does get magnified, as Mel very accurately pointed out. And so as you successfully develop your abilities and the ability to influence other people and give yourself a mindset of abundance in people that you will attract into your business, you will then find that there is an infinite supply of people that will be willing to be influenced to join you in your mastermind to agree and go into harmony of thinking with your thought and your plan and your goal and your vehicle. And your group will expand into abundance, and everything else follows from there. Back to you, Paul.
Well, a lot said there, Doc Fran, and I appreciate all of those insights and comments. And one thing that I wanted to throw out there as you're talking about the abundance mindset is you'll notice that if you study the abundance mentality, one of the things that almost every author, every speaker, every trainer always says that you can do and should do is develop the habit of gratitude. And we talk about this a lot on this call, but the gratitude is one of the ways that you can put yourself in alignment with that mindset that Doc Fran was just talking about. When you're grateful, you notice the abundance in every aspect of your life. And the more we can be grateful, the more abundance that we notice. And as Doc pointed out, the more abundance that we're noticing, the frequency is changed. It's different that we're putting out there into our world. And so we tend to get more of that which we emit. So just wanted to throw that out there as a daily strategy that we can always do better at. I mean, my goodness, we can always do better at having more gratitude. So appreciate those thoughts, Doc.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you, man.
Wow. Man, that's incredible. You know, that's really sparking some incredible energy. You know, Paul, here, what you know what? You have to develop your magnet. When you think about this, that attraction that you're talking about and you're emitting, you have to develop your magnet, a stronger magnet, become attractive. In other words, you have to develop yourself. You have to be able to offer value. And if you go back without currency and look at when people were bartering, and I think of a movie called, I think it's The Lionheart with Val Kilmer. This Indian, Val Kilmer had a really nice watch on his hand. He's more modern. And this Indian gentleman had some pipe or something, okay, some ancient thing from, you know, of the Indian days. And Val Kilmer somehow wanted that. But the old man kept tapping his hand, indicating he wanted that watch. And it took several attempts. Now, obviously, the guy said, well, in order for me to give this up, I see value in that watch. Now, Val Kilmer didn't initially see that value until he was able to develop and create an awareness. He had to develop after he had gotten some experience. Okay, after being around the old environment and things were changing, and he sort of developed increased his, like a camera would, increased his lens, the lens that he was looking through before he saw value in what the old man had. And it was wonderful. And I think it was a wonderful explanation to what here. You have to develop value to trade for somebody. And how many people you serve, okay, your true worth is going to be dependent on how much value you give versus how much you take in payment. And if you can multiply that by how many people you serve and how well you serve them will determine your compensation. Think about that for a while, okay? Let that stir around. Hey, thanks, man. I didn't really want to jump in, but I had to. Thank you very much.
Great thoughts as always, Eric. Appreciate those comments. Star 6, come on out. We'd love to hear from you and hear your contribution to this morning mastermind we're having on this Monday morning.
Hey, Paul. John Miller.
Good morning.
Hey, John, go ahead first, and then...
Mainly sit as a sponge enjoying this stuff, but love does, Dr. Fran, I'd say. It's so, so right. I enjoy this every morning. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, John. We appreciate you being on the call, and thanks for jumping out and sharing your comments. I did hear a female voice there coming out with John. Who was that?
Good morning, Paul. It's Lindy.
Hey, Lindy. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. I forget who was just talking, but what he was saying about the way we see the world and the way we our perceptions are. I mean, I always think of pictures whenever I'm thinking of things, and I can remember taking a test on being colorblind, and it had all these different colored lenses that you look through, and then you tell them what you see. And that's where we get off track sometimes, because each one of us are looking through different colored lenses. And it's not until they all come together in just the right way that we can all see the same big picture. I'm done.
Great. Yeah, thank you. Great, great way to look at that. Appreciate that, Lindy.
Hi, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Hi, this is Fred Rothschild in New Jersey.
Hey, Fred. Great to hear you this morning.
Hi, Paul. What I learned from what I'd like to share, the gentleman that spoke before the woman, Wendy, who was that?
Rick. That was Rick in California.
I'd just like to expound on one thing I learned from a mentor quite some time ago. It's the value system is true. It's the when one gets out of the what can I get from you, it's more of a give more than get more. One's mind and business business explode. Because if you just look at people like, hey, man, what can I take from you? You're not giving anybody anything. You're either scamming them or taking. But when you show people that you give them more than you ask in return, like I'm going to give you $10 and all I ask of you is to come to my meeting, my presentation, look at my website, or give me back a few dollars. When you create that sense of giving more than taking more, it's a magical thing that I've watched other people. And as I embark on my journey with 124 and this team, I'm with Todd Young. It's a great mindset to have. That's it. I don't want to expound on it because I'm not an expert on it, but it's true. Give more, give value, as opposed to get more, and then it's like you become a magnet.
Fred, appreciate that great articulation of one of the key principles of accumulating wealth, and it's one that Napoleon does talk about in this book, The Habit of Giving More. Actually, I think Wallace Wattles puts it this way, the habit of giving more in use value than you request in monetary value, over-delivering. It's a absolute amazing concept. Yes, go ahead. Who is that? Oh, I thought someone was jumping out there. But, yeah, thank you so much, Fred, for sharing that.
It's Doc Fran.
Hey, Doc.
Lindy, I want to congratulate you because you hit on exactly the essence of the power of the mastermind. And that is when you put, in our case, 50, 100 people at a time on a call, and people contribute as you did, we are allowing everyone to understand. We've all heard the same words, but all of us have filtered them through our various colored filters, and we then distill a piece of the truth from our perspective as seen through that filter. And the real value and power of a mastermind is when individuals do exactly as you had the courage to do, as speak up and articulate your particular viewpoint of the truth. It's so amazing, and I love to hear it when people hear something that someone else said and that keys in for them a piece of essential truth, which for the first time they may have heard with clarity. That's the power of the mastermind. And Fred, your words were so profound because everything you speaks this abundant reality. The only time you can truly approach everyone from a standpoint of what I have to give to you is when you are literally existing in a sensation, in a state of mind of abundance, that you have so much in your life of whatever that you can literally be standing there offering something of value to someone else, and all you want to do is influence them to take a look at the abundance that you're existing in. This is the I love this call, guys. I get so much out of it, and I appreciate it. Paul, back to you.
Thanks, Doc. And if you have unmuted your line and you're not talking, please press *6 to mute your line. Getting a little bit of somebody breathing into the calls, making it a little bit hard to hear Doc there. But one thing that I wanted to add there to what Doc was saying in relation to what Lindy said, that's one of the reasons it's so important that no matter where you are in your growth process, that you come on and share your insights and your breakthroughs that you're having, because it's almost a guarantee that somebody on the call is maybe at a similar point in their journey of discovery, and what you say will resonate with them. Your filters might be similar, whereas, you know, my filter is going to be different than Doc Fran's filter, and so on and so forth. And so just want to encourage everyone, if you're prompted to come out and share something, please do. We want to hear from we definitely want to hear from you, and there's certain to be someone on the line that will benefit greatly from what you have to say, based on where their filter is in alignment with your filter. So want to throw that out there. *6, who's next?
Good morning again. This is Neville. I'm sorry to bother you guys one more time.
Not at all.
I want to add something here. Melvin had said something and then tried to tie it back into what Doc and everyone has said so far. Having stated that where two persons come together, there's a third person there. And sometimes when we're out here working and we're doing things, we're hearing new concepts, we begin to worry about our religious affiliations and how it affects our religion. But the Bible tells you, where two or more persons are gathered in his name, there he'll be. And I'm going to tie it in now into the Think and Grow Rich. Where two or more persons are gathered in love or harmony, that's where the third person, Melvin said, will be. And as Dr. Fran has said before, that there's infinite. Everything in the universe is made infinite. It's expanding every day. Knowledge expanding. Everything is growing. There's no limitation on everything else. So what we're saying, I'm saying is this, that we don't have to try to pull down someone else for us to be successful. We just go out and do the best that we can, work with people, give as much as we can to help them. But we give abundantly to whomever that we have. We can't help but be successful ourselves. So, gentlemen, today you're all are giving me so much information, and thank you all for that.
Thank you, Neville. Really appreciate your comments and insights, my friend, and never a bother, always value added. Thank you.
Cornelius from Long Beach, California.
Good morning. Who's that? What's your name?
Cornelius from Long Beach, California.
Well, welcome to the call.
Good morning, and thanks for blessing me be a part of this call. And I just had a thought come across my mind that when we talk about two people coming together on one subject and one creating power that becomes a third and three people becoming seven, imagine 50 to 100 people on this call on one subject of Think and Grow Rich. I believe that we have the power to change the world actually just from this call every day, because that everyone on this call has the power to spread this through our own circle of influence as we go out throughout the day with this information we gather this morning. And I think it would do really all of us a great deal to just spread the word throughout the day to get more people on this call to make a greater influence in the world. And thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We're still getting somebody's breathing into the phone. Please press *6 to mute your line if you are not talking. Appreciate that. All right. Thank you. *6 to mute. Still getting some breathing there. Somebody still is not muted. *6, please, to mute your line if you're not speaking. And who else wants to jump out? Any other comments or discussion here before we end the call here in just a few minutes?
Hey, Paul, Mike Nelson.
Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning. I'm reading through Stephen Covey's, and I knew he, you know, what's kind of ironic is there are a lot of people that come out like Stephen Covey and a bunch of other people that write about similar things that Napoleon Hill has written about 100 years ago, and they claim that they're the latest and greatest, and it still comes back to saying the same thing that he said 100 years ago, but they're just making money off of him somehow. Case in point, Stephen Covey talks about his paradigm. The dependent person needs other people to get what they want. Independent people can get things that they want through their own efforts, and interdependent people combine their own efforts with efforts of others to achieve greatness. So basically, Covey is saying the same thing in his words, which is, it's cool, but it all comes back down to the creator and what he thought, and it just goes on from there. So I just thought that was interesting how people say different things and mean the same thing.
Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate you sharing that. And it reminds me of why we use Think and Grow Rich as a foundation, because it really does seem that all of the, or most all of the laws and principles necessary for success were so well extrapolated by Napoleon Hill in this book, and lots of other books you can trace right back to Think and Grow Rich. Yeah, Ernie, go ahead, and please, star six if you're not speaking. Star six if you're not speaking. Go ahead, Ernie.
Paul, we all know, as we've grown throughout our lives, we've known of big events and corporations. They all have committees. For any great action that's going to take place, they have committees that form so they can collaborate and brainstorm about how they can pull off their event. And not one person alone can actually create an event. It takes teamwork. So it's really important that we recognize the fact that our own lives are a business. And so we have to form a committee, and this is our own committee through the Think and Grow Rich, to collaborate about our lives and see what ways we can better our lives by forming this committee and being a part of something and throwing our ideas out to people and getting feedback. So I'm very intrigued about the message that's being put forth this morning. And how it's really playing into my life. I have an endeavor I'm trying to create right now where I'm actually forming a committee, and I'm being very selective about the people that I want to be on my committee board. So that's my message.
Awesome.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Ernie. Appreciate that. You're forming a mastermind. Fantastic. Star 6 to mute your line. We're getting some feedback on the line this morning. Again, the star 6 to mute your line.
Yeah, Paul, it sounds like somebody's doing dishes in the background or putting boxes away, or if your physical task in the background, hit star six on your phone.
There we go. Maybe we got it. All right, folks. Well, we do have a few minutes left. Any other comments, questions to pose to the group, any other ideas pertaining to this mastermind principle or how it might apply in network marketing? Would love to hear from you here.
Hey, Paul. It's Dana in Arizona.
Hey, Dana. Good morning.
Good morning. The caller before Mike made a really important point, and that was that we can change the world with this type of call. And that is what we see you trying to do through all of us getting on the call every morning. And the caller's insinuation was, is that something that we need to be doing as well to widen that circle? And so, you know, we try to share this phone call with as many people as we possibly can that are on our team. But eventually it's going to get to the point where a lot of us are going to have to take up the reins and do the same types of things so that it widens that circle and gets more people involved. And I thought that was a great point. It was very simple, but it's a very great concept that if you want something to continue, you kind of have to assume your position at a new hub and develop people around you that are doing the same thing. So back to you.
Thank you, Dana, and you're absolutely right. Again, it staggers the imagination what we can accomplish here as we come together in a spirit of harmony and unity and purpose and moving forward to get these ideas out to as many people as possible and also to come up with new ideas for our own businesses as we move forward in growing our own businesses. Appreciate that, Dana, and appreciate you and your commitment to being on this call. You're definitely one of our most committed and contributing members, so just want to say thank you, Dana.
Paul, it's back, Fran.
Yes, sir.
I want to bring the call around to the practical application of the principle of this chapter. And, you know, we have a wonderful mastermind here in terms of, you know, once a day, 5 days a week, we join forces with, and like we say, and very delightfully so, anywhere between 50 and 100 people are on this call any given morning. In an application to our individual businesses, a mastermind, as we've heard defined, is two people. That does define a mastermind, when you can get two people that are of like mind and who then collaborate and form, the thought process that occurs is greater than any individual thought process can be. So take that to heart. If you are in this business, don't be a lone ranger. It's one of the things that I consistently try and train people to understand, the value of finding one other person initially that is going to partner up with you, where the two of you can continue to progress, and you will progress at a far higher rate of progression by having a partner. And it's a very important principle in life to find someone who is willing to partner with you. You can use that partner to carry you through times when your negative self-thinking outweighs your positive self-thinking. And you can express that to a partner when you have a level of trust and faith and belief in them. They can then bring you through. It's a lot easier having an external person bring you through challenges that you may experience, and we all experience as we grow in life and in our businesses. It's a perfect person then to be your three-way, your go-to person. We've talked about the power of the three-way is in part because of the idea that you are a mastermind when you engage that expert on the call with your prospect. So look around among your friends, look around among your team, look around among your upline, and identify a person. If I had this one person that was my partner in this business, I would have the sensation of abundance in this business. And line up with that person, get their agreement, and work together to create your expanding mastermind. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Doc. I love, always as always, your comments, and I love how you pointed out that the three-way call is, in essence, a mastermind where you're creating a third mind on that call, and you're putting two, three people together in that spirit of unity and harmony and purpose. I really had never thought of that application of the three-way call, but it is absolutely true based upon the principles that we've learned today. Anyone want to jump out before I close out the call here?
Buzz Billwins.
Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Great. I just wanted, I know I made this kind of a long while back, but the principle Doc was just talking about with two or more, this works so beautifully. 5 years ago, I was in a company where we had a buddy system, and I buddied up with someone, and we really clicked, and we've developed our own product, and every day we keep in communication, and we've really developed, you know, each other's talents and strengths. His was more in the technical, and mine was more in the writing area. And because of that mastermind, 5 years later, we've really grown a lot, and you know, we're both in the program, and it's just absolutely incredible what masterminding does. And I just wanted to give the application of how it worked for me. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. All right, folks. Well, we've got just about 2 minutes left here, so I want to close out the call with one thought. You know, this is a mastermind, and I want to throw this thought out to everyone on the mastermind as we kind of finish out this call and go about our daily activities. I had an individual call me sometime last week and leave me a message on my voicemail and said, Paul, he goes, I need to talk to you because, he says, I need to know how many people you sponsored in your business, because I know that this get to is a bunch of crap, and I need to know exactly what I need to do to make sure that I make the amount of money that you're making in the business. And I listened to that voicemail, and I hung up from listening to it. And first of all, I haven't called him back yet because the call was really negative. The voice, I mean, to say that an idea is a bunch of crap, a little bit negative. But I've been thinking about this concept, you know, and everyone who's in network marketing has always seen the charts that are put up there where if you get two, who get two, or if you get three, who get three, or whatever the number is. And we're blown away by the staggering amount of money that can be made if we can just get a large group of people engaged in a simple activity over time to produce a massive result. In network marketing, that's the ultimate mastermind, folks, when we can get a large group of people engaging in that type of activity. And we've just heard an example of an individual by the name of Gandhi who convinced 200 million people to coalesce in unison in a plan, in a purpose, in harmony together to take positive actions moving forward in a spirit of unity, faith, and harmony. So I pose this question: is it possible for us in network marketing to get a large group of people engaged in a simple activity over time that is guaranteed to produce an exponential result? And the answer that I come back with is yes. Now, have I discovered the secret in my business yet? No, probably not. I mean, I've discovered part of the secret. I have some ideas on how to get a large group of people duplicating over time. But one thing that we can devote our efforts to in network marketing, or one idea that we can all give our best thought to, is what do we do to get a large group of people? What's the activity? What's the magical key that we can implement within our businesses to get a large group of people engaging in a simple activity over time to produce an exponential result? Because at the end of the day, folks, that's the magic of network marketing. It's not coming into a business and learning how to spend 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week learning how to recruit hundreds and thousands of people personally. Folks, if that was the appeal of network marketing, then we may as well go out and get a job, because that's what a job entails, working long hours and producing huge results in order to sustain your income. It's what Doc Fran calls a linear income. So just in closing the call today, my challenge to everyone is, let's put our thoughts. What activity can be engaged in over time? What activity can be encouraged throughout a large group of people? How do we get a large team to coalesce in unison to produce an exponential result? And my conclusion is, it is not a bunch of crap. We absolutely can, if we but believe and if we but unify our minds in harmony together, we can discover how to do just that, and we can all experience the magic of what this industry has to offer. So that being said, a closing thought here for all of us to think about, and maybe we can come back again on subsequent calls and share our ideas, because it is worthy of our efforts for sure. Let's get out there today. Let us be positive people. Let us have passion. Let us have faith. Let us have purpose and vision. Let us take action and be people of persistence, and not let temporary setback, again, any apparent failure, all it is a temporary setback. Let us not allow temporary setback to knock us out of the game, but rather let us knock those temporary setbacks out of our way as we move forward toward our definite major purposes. I love you. I thank you. Thank you for being on the call. Let's get out there and make it a great day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Make it a great day, everyone.